Welcome to another episode of First Over 40. I'm your host, Christina Steed. Thanks so much for joining me today. It's been a while, but I've had a lot of stuff happening. But first, I wanted to, because a lot of people who are in my network, and I appreciate them who've been sharing this podcast, I did want to start with kind of just a little introduction of who I am, and then I can go into some of my firsts and some of the themes that I want to go through today. So, and this is going to sound a little ASMR-y because I have this gravelly voice for whatever reason. And if you don't know what ASMR is, Google it, go on YouTube. It's hilarious. I am a communications expert. I've worked in the field of public relations, marketing, crisis, issues management, multicultural and diversity and inclusion communications for the majority of my career. I started off in journalism, wanted to be a broadcast journalist, had a chance to be a reporter on air, on radio, on television. And while I loved it, I wasn't crazy about it and didn't see it being like something that I wanted to commit to. So ended up making the switch over to public relations and still have the ability to be a storyteller, because at the root of me, that's who I am. I am someone who tells stories and just really recognizes the power in storytelling. And so this podcast, which I sort of touched on in my first episode, and if you haven't heard that, please jump back to episode one of First Over 40. I started this because, you know, going into this decade, we get so many negative messages, and I wanted to just do something to help combat that for myself. And I felt like if I was feeling that way, maybe some other people were feeling that way, because from a marketing standpoint, the sweet spot of marketing for people is 18 to 45. And then after 45, I don't know. I mean, but it's funny because that's when you have kind of your most disposable income, and you maybe, even if you've been doing some work on yourself, you're feeling the most free. So I wanted to, you know, just do something. And as this evolves, that will always be my mission and rooted in that mission. So that's a little bit about me. Let me move on to the segment of this podcast where I talk about some recent firsts. So I recently had the chance to visit the Illinois Wine Trail in downstate Illinois near Carbondale, southern Illinois, for y'all who know it. First of all, I wrote a blog post about it. It's called, in case you missed it, Downstate Illinois Wineries Are Lit, on my website, christinasteed.com. And they were lit. Like, I have been to Napa. I have been to the Michigan Wine Trail. I've been to different wineries here and there. I've been to wineries in Chile. I've been to wineries in Italy. And when I tell you, Illinois is, you know, we're doing it. We are doing it. They were great tasting wines. The facilities were pretty nice. They were in near the Shawnee National Forest on that. The other first that I had was I have been a supporter and member of the South Shore community in Chicago for a number of years. And the last weekend was the first time I had ever visited the South Shore Nature Sanctuary. So for those of you who live in Chicago, South Shore is, you know, a beautiful neighborhood, as you know. And for those who don't know, people know it because Michelle Obama grew up in South Shore. I actually was married at the South Shore Cultural Center. It's one of the most beautiful city-owned buildings, park district buildings in the city. And they have a beach, and they have this nature sanctuary. And I took a walk there with my husband, and we took some impromptu pictures, but it was gorgeous. Butterflies, just a beautiful pond with lily pads. It was truly a sanctuary. It's truly a place I think I will definitely go back to just meditate and have some quiet time and just really enjoy the beauty of it. So, that was another first for me. So, again, this podcast is about celebrating firsts and how small wins can really make a difference in your life. So with that, I want to move on to some topics that I want to talk about. So the reason why this podcast has been delayed is because I recently had a birthday. And birthdays for me are extremely important because of health challenges that I've had in my life. And, you know, let me tell you, I don't look like what I've been through. I've been through a lot, different traumas and things of that nature. But probably within the last 5 years, I've been doing a lot of work to learn how to better navigate my life, which is, I think, a privilege and an honor for me to be able to do and have the time to do at this great stage of my life. Because before, it was really a matter of doing versus being, and I'll get into that a little bit more. But yeah, I celebrated my birthday and it was super, super low key this year. I didn't travel, stayed in town. Me and my husband had a great dinner, and of course he spoiled me with a wonderful gift, and we just enjoyed the city of Chicago. You know, the city is a city to really fall in love with, especially in the summer. And I'll take the winters too. And we really don't have a fall season or really a spring season for that matter. But it's a beautiful city. And so really took some time. I meditated a good portion of the day. I rode my bike, which is one of my favorite activities to do, ride my bike around the lakefront. We really have the most beautiful lakefront. And so that was, I guess you could say it was the first time I turned this age. And it was really, really reflective for me. I had posted on Facebook a post referencing a quote from Eartha Kitt, where she talks about aging. And she says, or I hope this is her, because you know how the internet's be lying, but they attribute this to her. She's a fellow Leo, I believe. And she said, "I have never yearned to stay young, but rather to stay me. The me committed to embracing her uniqueness. The me who feels no shame in championing and cherishing herself. The me who accepts aging as a natural process, not a disease. And who says, thank you, when I take care of myself." So that is something I am embracing. And that's kind of one of the things that I want to talk about today is self-love and self-care. So where she says, you know, she thanks herself for taking care of herself. That is, you know, for me, again, this whole being versus doing, for the majority of my life, I live my life in a space of doing and really just executing and, you know, step after step after step doing things, but not really being in that space or making space for how I was feeling in those situations. And whether that was school and, you know, studying or going to work or getting a job or checking things off of my to-do list, really, really just about orders, following orders, step after step after step, and not kind of being or existing. And so when I think about self-love and self-care, I used to think that self-love was the self-care tactics. So like if I went to go get a manicure and a pedicure, I was giving myself self-love. If I got my hair done, if I bought myself a new dress or a new purse, or even, you know, traveling somewhere, it is what I've realized is that it is a form of self-care, but not necessarily self-love. It's like the action. It's an action. So at least this is kind of the realization that I've come to, because, you know, another post that I had up on Facebook was Jada Pinkett Smith, who is like, she's awesome. Like, I am so loving how she is stepping into herself lately and sharing more about her journey. Because again, we're learning so much about her realizations and the stuff that she's studied and she's learned. And she mentioned self-love being a courageous, radical act and asking the question, how well are we treating ourselves and do we check in with ourselves? And she's saying it's courageous and it's radical because, again, with the difference of being versus doing, how often do we really check in with ourselves versus checking things off of a list and doing things just to be doing them? Do we wake up and say, you know, how am I feeling today? Where's my head at? Where's my energy level? You know, what can I do to really take care of myself today and get through this day of work, this day of activities, this day of obligation? And it's radical because you're turning your attention inward in a world that may, you know, see that as being selfish or not being attentive to others or not putting others first. And I think women probably suffer from that more than men in terms of this kind of idea that we are supposed to put others before ourselves. I know I did for a long time, and now, you know, have suffered the consequences of that, but I've kind of reverted and come back to how do I take care of myself? And the connection between your self-love and your health, that's the keys to the kingdom. That is the, you know, like I said, I've been doing a lot of reading and researching and seeing the impact of the connection between the mind and the body and the spirit. And it is true that you can reduce inflammation. You can really have an impact on anything that's going on wrong physically in your body by being more mindful. And I was playing with the idea of doing a podcast or doing something written called Mindfulness for the Rest of Us, because I think sometimes the principles and practices of being mindful or, you know, meditation, it can turn some people off because they're like, oh, I don't identify as that person. But this is really accessible to everybody. Understanding the energy levels in your body is really accessible to everybody. So that I'm trying to do my little small part in the world for that. So yes, it is definitely a radical act. It's also, you know, how are you talking to yourself? What is your self-talk? So for a long time, my self-talk was extremely negative. I didn't allow for any mistakes in my life. And so that, how does that impact my external environment? Well, it's the way I see others. So if I don't have grace for myself, then I do not really extend that much grace for others. Although I might give them a little bit more than I give myself, because I'm like, there's no excuse. There's no excuse. You should be able to do this. You should be able to do that. So grace, in extending yourself grace, and especially for me as it relates to weight. So just had to get my driver's license renewed this week, and the lady's going through my stats. Are you still 5'8"? Yes, I'm still 5'8". Are you still 125 pounds? No, ma'am. So she had to make that little update, and I let her make the update, and I was okay. I may not feel that way tomorrow, and I may not feel that way when I get the physical ID in my hand in the mail, but it's the truth. And so really just reverting the self-talk from, gosh, when I was a 15-year-old or 16-year-old, my weight self-talk was terrible. And I wasn't, you know, I was thin, but really was looking for validation of my physical appearance externally. And so when people would either, you know, say something about my weight or the way I looked, I never heard the positive stuff. It was always the negative stuff. You're too this, you're too that. Now I don't give two shits because, you know, it's nice for people to be complimentary. My cleaning lady yesterday said, oh, you had a birthday? How old did you turn? And I told her, and she was like, oh my God, you look 25. I'm like, ah, yeah, I'll take that. So thank you so much. But again, getting back to self-love and it being a radical act, it is radical, and it's also a daily practice, right? So every day, how can you love yourself more? How can you care for yourself more? I was listening to another podcast where the podcast host was talking about therapy and how their therapist had talked about we all go through at some stage in our life, and maybe it's continuous, around how we reparent ourselves and how we hold space for and care for the little child within us who still has issues to deal with, things to work through, insecurities to manage, and how we as the adult us must parent that child within us. And that absolutely resonates. So we must unlearn certain behaviors. We must, again, reinforce the positive imagery and things about ourselves like a parent would, because really self-love is about us. We cannot rely on external forces to help drive the love of ourselves. So, and then finally, as I wrap up, I had another post that I saw that someone shared that supposedly Richard Branson of, you know, he's the billionaire guy who has islands and several businesses. And he's talking about the concept of happiness. And in that post, and again, hopefully he said this, but you just never know with them internets. He talks about, you know, we all go through rough times. We all have challenges and, you know, have things to do and are busy. But understanding that happiness is not about doing, it's about being. And in order to be happy, we need to think consciously about it and to not forget the to-do list, but to remember to write a to-be list. So sit with that, a to-be list. So, you know, how often are we asked, what do we want to be versus what do we do? And, you know, you've had that question growing up. What do you want to be when you grow up? Who do you want to be? What do you aspire to do? But what being is another thing that I think we need to get back to. I was in the suburbs where I grew up. I had to go meet one of my attorneys out there. And I was thinking about when I was in high school and you have these dreams and things that you want. And I never was like, oh, I want to be rich. I want to be a millionaire. I want to be famous. My thing was, I want to be loved, which is nuts. But very, I think, mature for someone to say that. Because I did. I loved love. I love love still to this day. And that is really how I want to be. And I want to always be in a state of love. So that's kind of what I wanted to unpack today for the podcast again on this birthday week. Really just, you know, again, birthdays I think are so important for us. And every day is important, but birthdays remind us that we are not promised tomorrow. We should be thankful that we have our birthdays and that we have people in our lives who love us and that we can love back. And I am so appreciative of friends and people who have reached out and shared love and shared prayer and blessings for this birthday and who have been supportive of this growth trajectory for me in terms of being more creative as a writer, as a podcaster, and a content creator, because this is what I want to do. This is who I am. It's actually in my DNA. My grandfather was a poet and a writer. He was never formally published, but I have all of his poems and I read them. And my great great aunt was a playwright, a creative. I'll talk more about her because I actually had a super serendipitous moment a couple weeks ago. I'll just get into it and I'll wrap up. But I've been working on a book about my great-great-aunt Ethel Good Franklin, who had a home in Algonquin, Maine. We believe she is the first African-American to own a home in Algonquin, Maine, and she ran it as a bed and breakfast. She lived in Boston, but had this home in Maine, and she had many people stay there. She lived down the street from the Algonquin Playhouse, where a lot of actors would stay and would perform. And okay, so this was back in the 30s, 20s, 30s, 40s, when Black folks would come up there. Of course, they couldn't stay in the hotels. They, you know, because of, you know, segregation. So her home was the only place that people could stay. So people like Langston Hughes stayed at her home, and she entertained folks from the Harlem Renaissance. So anyway, her home has been owned by a guy for the past 20 years. It's not in the family anymore. And out of the blue, it's on sale right now. So he's selling the home. So out of the blue, I get this email from his assistant or someone who works with him saying, he would like to talk to you. He sees you're writing a book on your Aunt Ethel, and he wants to talk to you. So I give him a call, and we talk. We have a really great conversation. And he says to me, you know, for 20 years, I've been the proprietor of this home. I've owned this home, but I never felt like it was mine. I always felt like I was taking care of it for your Aunt Ethel. And I was like, wow, that's really, really beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. And he said he had a seer, a person who does readings and, you know, channels, and is a psychic who stayed there a couple weeks ago. And she felt the presence of my Aunt Ethel in the house. And, you know, whether or not you believe in that, I do, because I just feel like we do not know. We do not have all the answers. What we see in front of us is not everything. So he shared that with me. We talked about some other things and some plans of his. And I shared with him that I do, you know, I am certainly a product of her DNA and her creativity, because I am also a writer and a creator, and I'm going to get this book done at some point. But that also her legacy lives, even though she didn't have children, her legacy lives within me, and I'm so proud to be connected to her. And additionally, on the other side of it, connected to another woman, Dr. Margaret Burroughs, who founded the DuSable Museum, whose house I own. So I own a historic home of a woman who is so strong and a creative and an artist. And I will likely feel the same way, that I am just a proprietor of the home, and that it really is hers forever. And so, yeah, that wraps up this episode. I kind of went off on a tangent there, but I did just want to share that moment of serendipity and magic, really, for me to be inspired and keep going with the creativity. So thanks so much for listening to this first Over 40 podcast episode. Please, please check me out on Instagram. My handle is at @firstover40. My personal handle is at @ccsteed. And yeah, I will continue to share, and please share your feedback. I super appreciate it, and take care. Be blessed.